You have to hit the button.
What's that? I did.
Oh, you said let's do it. I thought you were hitting like the intro button.
Oh, yeah, the button.
Did you just hit the record button?
Welcome to Scotch and Splenda, guys, the podcast that tastes like The Office and gets you drunk like the demon barber of Fleet Street. Is thirst for blood. I don't know, guys.
Thanks, I hate it.
Yeah, I know.
Strong start.
Yeah, well, welcome to this episode. Episode 3. Here on Scotch and Splenda, we're talking about anything and everything in The Office, but most importantly, theories, side stories, and what ifs. We are your co-regional managers. I'm AJ.
I'm BJ.
I am Nick.
And on this episode, we are continuing on through the superfan episodes of Season 7 that were more recently released on Peacock. We are at Season 7, Episode 3, Andy's Play.
Ayo.
Boy, if you can't tell how excited we are to be covering this very, very Andy and Aaron-centric episode.
We've got...
Please.
I've watched it so many times.
Yeah, we've got the energy of three guys who have watched this episode like between 12 and 15 times between the three.
Yeah, there's a collective...
In the last couple
weeks. I do think we have collectively watched this like probably over 15 times. At this point, and which is gonna hopefully make for some great conversation based around what I'm sure you can already tell is to us not that great of an episode of The Office.
Yeah.
I will say the extended edition is better, and it's got the nuggets in there we're gonna talk about.
I agree. So guys, if you're joining in with us, make sure you're doing us a solid. You know, most people that even listen to our podcast, or really any podcast that they happen to turn on, they aren't even subscribed or following along for when that podcast is dropping episodes. So if you can, do us a real big favor. Hit the follow button. While you're at it, leave us 5 stars on whatever platform you are on. You can also write us a review on Apple Podcasts. And while you're there, feel free to drop us your fan theory, because like we say, that's what we're all about here, is just diving into the fan theories and thought processes of what the Office world has to offer, right? So also follow along on social media, just at Scotch Splenda, no and, no ampersand, just at Scotch Splenda anywhere in the social media. And of course, give us a call. We got a phone number that you can reach us at. Leave us a voicemail, leave us a fan theory. That phone number just so happens to be
319-359-7977.
There it is. Now, normally, guys, we might start off with a little bit of a fan theory, but we are going to change it up just ever so slightly. We are going to kick this off with some thirsty times, because yes. BJ, you said there's some story on this one.
Well, we're trying a very special bourbon tonight.
Okay.
So it is the old Rip Van Winkle. It's a 10-year bourbon. It's a weeded bourbon. It's 107 proof, which matches up with the Weller 107, which is a very similar bourbon, made by Buffalo Trace now. And I thought maybe I could just tell the tale of old Rip Van Winkle while we try it. But first, let's take a sip and see what you guys think.
You got it.
Tremendous.
Cheers.
Cheers, Keys.
Cheers, O's.
I think it's delicious. I mean, it's just so good. It is a little higher. So, AJ, I know you got a cube. Probably recommended for you. I have a cube as well with this. I did drink one last night. Neat.
Probably recommended for my big chest. I do. I got the ball. Clinky.
Come on.
Clinky, clinky.
Come on.
So I do have that going for me. But yes, let's see. When I opened up the little bottle, I got what's usually like one of my, it's usually an indicator of something I'm going to enjoy as far as whiskey goes. Let me tell you if I taste it at all.
Okay.
And I think I do. When I opened it up, it had this like, I always, if I get a hint of like green apple, I'm usually going to be excited about this.
Maybe it's the name, but to me, it kind of tastes like I'm out in the woods, you know, like it's got an oak, but it's not too strong. It's sweet. And I do get the fruit. I don't know if green apple for me, maybe nails it on the head, but definitely like maybe pear, I would say. Pear, almost
like, and definitely like, you know, it's the skin, like it's like the apples, yeah, like the apple skin, the pear skin, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's got, I just feel like I could, you know, drink a glass of this and then go fire a musket, you know, like
I just got done chopping wood.
Yeah. I just finished chopping wood and life is good.
Yeah.
So there is a story behind Old Rip Van Winkle, and I've never really looked into it. And I thought it was kind of a fun tale. Mm. And so I found an abbreviated version of it on good old Wikipedia, and Michael Scott would tell you
Wikipedia
that if it's on Wikipedia, it's true.
It's right? The greatest thing. Anyone on the internet can just go and write exactly whatever they want. So you know you're getting the best information.
It's just such an optimistic point of view.
Yes.
It's great. I love it. All right. So
tell us.
Here it is. Rip Van Winkle was a Dutch-American man. He had a habit for avoiding useful work, lives in a village at the foot of the New York's Catskills Mountains in the years before the American Revolution. One day he goes on a squirrel hunt. He goes squirrel hunting in the mountains with his dog, Wolf, to escape his wife's nagging. As evening falls, he hears a voice calling his name and finds a man dressed in Dutch clothing and carrying a keg. Rip helps the man carry his burden to the cleft in the rocks from which thunderous noises are emitting. The source proves to be a group of ornately dressed Dutch people, and they're all bearded men, and they're playing ninepins. Not asking these men are or how they know his name, Rip joins them in drinking flagons of alcohol from the keg. He helped the same keg he helped carry. As soon becomes so intoxicated that he falls asleep. Sorry, I gotta make my font a little bigger, guys. I think I'm going blind. Rip awakens on a sunny morning at the spot where he first saw the keg carrier and finds that many drastic changes have occurred. His beard is a foot long and has turned gray. His musket is badly deteriorated, and Wolf is nowhere to be found. Returning to his village, he discovers it to be larger than he remembers and filled with people in unfamiliar clothing, none of whom recognize him. When asked how he voted in the election that has just been held, he declares himself a loyal subject of King George III, unaware that the American Revolution has taken place in his absence.
Ruh-roh.
Yep. He learns that many of his old friends were either killed in the war or have left the village, and is disturbed to find a young man who shares his name, mannerisms, and younger appearance. A young woman states that her father is Rip Van Winkle, who has been missing for 20 years, and the old woman recognizes him as Rip. The young woman and the young Rip are his children, and the former named his infant son after him as well. Rip discovers that his wife has been dead for some time, but is overall not saddened by the news. He learns via village elder that the man he met in the mountains are rumored to be ghosts of a crew, the Helven Men, or the Half Moon, captured by English sea explorer Henry Hudson. His daughter takes him into her home, and he soon resumes his usual idealness unconcerned by the major political changes during his slumber, and begins telling his story to every stranger who visits the village. The tale is solemnly taken to heart, despite some assuming he is insane, but by the settlers, particularly by his children, who say that whenever thunder is heard, the men in the mountains must be playing nine pins. So that's the story. And then I read a little more about the lore of it, and I mean, it's one of those, you wake up, he was dead the whole time. So it's that's basically the Sixth Sense who ripped off old Rip Van Winkle's story.
Gotcha. So that's where they get, spoiler alert, where Bruce Willis got it.
23-year-old movie.
Wow. So apparently this whiskey can make you very sleepy.
Yeah.
And which apparently, that checks out, because I had one last night and I drifted right off
to sleep. And according to M. Night Shyamalan, it can also make you a plagiarist. So
yeah. You see this photo?
That's fine.
You know who that is?
Know who that is?
That's M. Night Shyamalan. He's living in your condo?
He's living in your condo? Let's see. So old Rip basically got alcohol poisoning and died.
Yeah, correct. I guess. No, I don't know. Maybe he was dead the whole time. Like,
he was dead the whole time.
The ghost lured him in to play nine pins.
Did he like come across a hatch?
Yeah,
he was on the island. His kid's birthday's like 4/8/15/16/23/42. Yeah,
I just got done rewatching Lost, start to finish.
Oh God, I'm sorry.
This is very, very relevant in my life right now.
Very relevant. Well, I do enjoy it. I will say that it's definitely having an effect on my cube too.
Yeah, it's a spicy meatball.
It's a spicy meatball. It's turning this this ice ball into a. Into a smaller ice ball.
So, AJ, you and I's relationship is basically built on, you know, a couple things. Pretension and one-upsmanship, right?
And sauces.
And sauces. So you told a story earlier about why you're having to hold your microphone right now because you don't have your holder.
Yeah.
You left it at another gig.
Because I'm a big old silly dummy.
Yeah. Let me one up here.
Okay.
So Sunday, Sunday, I got my golf tee time is approaching.
No pun
intended. And I go to just check my clubs, make sure they're in my vehicle. They're not. They're gone. They're not in my garage. I can't find. And when I say my clubs, I mean my bag and all my clubs.
Oh no.
They are gone.
Oh.
And
God.
So I run inside and I ask Kendra, you know, where the hell are my clubs? Did you take them out and put them somewhere silly when you're using my car or something?
Yeah,
she didn't touch him. She just said, I just assumed you left them in the Jeep for your next golf, you know, round.
Yep, as you and do.
So a little panicking because I'm at 20 minutes till tee time. Now, luckily the course is extremely close to my house.
Nice.
And I call the course I played over a week ago, and they were there. I left my whole bag, all my clubs, and my wallet. That is how little I use my wallet now.
I was going to say, how the hell did you not notice you were using
your wallet? I didn't have an ID with me because everything I do is Apple Pay.
Yeah.
I never have my wallet on me unless I know I'm going somewhere where I'm going to need a card, like out to a restaurant or something, which we did not do
right
for over a week. Because then I would have figured it out sooner. Obviously, I would have been like, oh, my wallet's in my golf bag. I need my wallet. And then I would have deduced it before that.
Yeah. So what's funny is I went to a bachelor party over the weekend, this past weekend. And like, I was just like in a scramble. I had like, I was dropping things off. I was wrapping things up on a Friday. And going, because I was one who was going to be driving a group of people up. So I finally get there, and all's good. And I realize I forgot my wallet this weekend. And I'm like, you got to be kidding me. And so then I thought about it, and I was like, you know what? In the end, probably isn't going to make too big of a difference. We stopped at one place that... like probably would have, like I would have needed to have some sort of a card or maybe even cash. Well, I didn't even end up buying around at that place or buying beer. Somebody bought me beer. And then we get up there and I'm like, I'm pretty sure I have like a photo of the front and back of my ID. Number one, number two, everything is Apple Pay now. And I have like kind of like a card that I leave in my car that is like, it's like for like gas, right? Like I use that card, pay for gas or like things like that. And then I just pay it off. That's what I end up doing. And I'm just like, I didn't even tell anybody. Because I was just like, this is honestly kind of a non-issue. And if I would have told somebody, they would have been like, oh, dude, no, we got, I'll get you, man. Like, it's not a big deal.
Oh, 100%.
And everybody would have been fine. Like, it would have been completely fine, right? But it would have been like a stress point for like somebody else to find out about this. And I'm like, I'm not even stressed right now.
No.
It's like, this is just, it's whatever. Like, even if I get pulled over, it's like, I'll just show them the picture on my phone.
Yeah,
it'll be fine. So it's kind of crazy.
Yep, I dodged a bullet. Didn't get pulled over all week. And
nice.
I'm at that age where I no longer get ID'd. So
tremendous.
Yeah, that would have been a pain point for me if I stopped to get a beer.
Also, did not
at the neighborhood gas station and not been able to buy it.
Also never got ID'd the entire time. Like, obviously, so it's like, you know, okay, I guess I really am, you know, over 30, so.
Yeah, I did make it to the tee time with, like, 4 minutes to spare. Like, they were, my partner was heading towards the box, because I told him, I'm like, hey, I told him, I fibbed. I lied, guys, I lied.
Fibbers.
I told him, I was so embarrassed to tell him that I left my entire golf bag and all my clubs at another course that I had to run and get quick. That I told him I left my putter there because I chipped it in on 18 and I got so excited I ran off and forgot my putter.
You created such a big lie out of this. Like, that's, you're at the point of like Dwight lying for Angela on this. Like,
yeah.
You know, like, what? It was beeswax, not his incorporated. Why I was late. Okay.
Oh, it's very funny. It's like,
all right. What's your Splendor stuff, rating? Man. And we'll move on to this episode.
Oh,
I guarantee you this content so far is going to be better than what's coming ahead with Andy's play.
Yeah, you're right. So you're welcome for prolonging the inevitable, you listeners. Now, my Splendor rating, obviously this is good, right? But it's spicy compared to like what I normally like.
It's a little hot,
but it is good. And I think it is one of those things, like if I had like a full ample serving of this, it would make me very sleepy. So I'm going to give this a 3/4 packet.
All right.
3/4 packet.
A lot of people are going to hate you for that, but all right.
Yeah. Well, maybe you should do a better job there. Old Rip shouldn't have died on the job. So,
shouldn't have died on the job. Yeah. All right. Andy's play. Nick, tell us about the cold open here.
Yeah, please. You got it, boss.
So so it starts off with the normal morning in the office being disrupted by Andy and the crew doing a bit of viral marketing.
Viral marketing.
Which I don't know why he does that, considering in the play he doesn't do an English accent. But regardless.
Yeah.
Well, the bird distracted him.
So it starts. Yeah. Well, yeah, we'll get there.
Okay.
So it starts off with Andy and his crew, the rest of Sweeney Todd, busting into the office and doing like the intro song to the musical, all in costume, all in makeup, yada, yada, yada. Michael busts out to the thunderous applause to tell him, like, hey, I auditioned for this. Like, when did the cast list go up? I don't know, like 6 weeks ago?
Like 6 weeks ago?
Like a month ago?
Who am I playing?
Is this how you're telling everybody?
Yeah, like, Andy, who am I playing?
Who am I playing?
It's just Andy. This super long, super uncomfortable, like, nobody's like, you didn't get cast at all, which we find out more about why that was later on, which is, I mean, just outstanding.
I think it's the best part of this entire episode.
I think Michael's disdain throughout this episode and finding out more about his audition is the funniest part of this episode for sure.
Far and away.
You keep auditioning with that type of gusto. And I promise we were going to find room for a Michael Scott performance.
Yep.
But that is your cold open. So you start with them doing the Sweeney Todd intro song, and then Michael making everybody incredibly uncomfortable for like way longer than you think it's going to go.
Yeah. And then getting into the meat here, you know, focusing on the extended cut, like I said, this episode is not one of my favorites, but there are some really good nuggets here. And early on is a Gabe talking head where he says he's been in four plays in his life. He played Ichabod Crane, then Abraham Lincoln, and then Ichabod Crane two more times. Like he's typecasted in one style. And so I honestly was like, I knew Ichabod Crane was from Legend of Sleepy Hollow, but I had to look up his Wikipedia, he is from but they describe him as a tall, lanky individual who's the local schoolmaster and strongly believes in the supernatural. Yeah. That is Gabe.
Yes.
Oh yeah. To a T.
So
defined as such.
Typecasting was done correctly for that, sir.
If I didn't know he starred in those plays, that would still be a thought that you'd have. Like, look at this Ichabod Crane looking motherfucker over here.
I would still certainly recommend.
Look at this Tim Burton Corpse Bride ass looking motherfucker over here.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, look at this Jack Skellington bitch.
100%.
I think the whole cold open is maybe like the most tolerable part of like what this play really is. Watching them all go to this play and honestly like the follow up of Andy going around and almost like begging people to come to his play is maybe just as awkward.
It's incredibly uncomfy.
What is it Kelly that says like, "Oh well, who's going?" Well, I like everybody, and then she's like, "Oh, I heard nobody's going." What?
Like, who said that?
Who said that? But there's I'll wait because it's a little further on. But there is a deleted scene added back into the Superfan episodes that plays into a very early confirmed fan theory of ours.
Oh,
in this episode,
really?
It's juicy. So, but it's
I'm ready
it's,
for the juice.
It's right when they get to the play. So back to Andy convincing everyone to go. I do think this is a good Jim and Pam episode because you got to get to see behind the veil of what their marriage life looks like.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
You know they don't do anything. I mean they're brand new parents, right? And AJ, you're like still like would be considered like a newer parent, right?
Yeah.
So you gotta. I would assume that, much like me when I had my puppies early on, you get very nervous about leaving them
for
long periods of time and or with people you're not extremely comfortable with, like family members.
Yeah, when you are going to do that like for the first time, like I'm trying to think of the first time that me and Alicia really left Harrison. Now granted we were leaving Harrison with grandma and grandpa and then was also going to go to other grandma and grandpa's house. So that makes it a lot more like less stressful, but then at the same time you're still like anything could freaking happen. And you just only stress yourself out with all the same like little BS like that you see Jim and Pam go through in this episode too. Like I believe it's an added cut or an added little bit to the scene when you see them like they're talking to Aaron like for the first time. I know we're jumping ahead a little bit, but you see him like just, you know, talking, "Oh yeah, okay, and just, you know, if this happens then do this, if this happens then this." It's like having a dog in the same sense, right? Because you understand your dog's little ticks.
Yep.
And if they do this, then it means this. If they do this, then it means this. And it's like amplified with a child because you're like, yeah, like, but in the end, whether it's a child or a dog or whatever, it's like, it's because they want one of three necessities of life: sleep, food, drink, like attention. Like, it's what it is. Like, it's like one of those things. And so, but you always overanalyze it. And like, then they, it's the little scene, like they cut back. It's like, oh, do you think she knows how to use a bottle warmer? Like,
yeah,
it's like, get over it, Jim.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, Jim has a great line in the extended cut that, here, let me find it. Cause it is a little further. I know it's pretty close here. He says, I wouldn't trust a 13-year-old girl to change out my water heater, but I'm supposed to trust her with the life of my baby.
Right.
And, yeah.
Right.
And I was like, that was a pretty interesting way to look at it.
Oh, 100%. You know?
But I get it. I guess you won't really know until, because like you said, like, to my knowledge, you've probably never like Craigslisted a babysitter.
No. Harrison, right? Yeah.
Or like had like even like a semi, you know, person, you know, from work, watch your baby, right? You have your family and you have your very trusted best friends who
right.
professionally nanny, like,
you know? Right. So we, there's one there, like, for instance, there was like one day a week that we have somebody who like we did hire from a nanny, like website app that is like, it's like Yelp, you know, it's the lifeblood of the nanny community.
Oh, gotcha.
You know, those 13-year-olds
have tourism. Yeah, the 13-year-olds have a chokehold on babysitting in this town.
And like, but like, it's the one day a week that we have someone like come and watch. And usually one of us is probably here anyways. It's just, I'm working. Alicia is working, like those types of things, right?
Gotcha.
So,
gotcha.
But you're right. It's like, man, you know, I'm not going to hire the person who has like 2.5 stars. I might not even hire the person who has 3.5 stars. No. It's like, if you don't have 5 stars, not like I'm calling an Uber.
Yeah, not you for know? A baby. Not yeah. for a baby.
Like, if you better have five stars.
You wait for 3.5 stars for when you, like, Harrison's like 9 years old.
Yeah.
And they're just there basically to make sure he doesn't burn the house down.
Correct. You know? And that's the thing. But I totally understand this idea of like, you know, it's really, you know, they're going and doing their own thing. They're nervous about it. And all of all the people though, Aaron?
Yeah.
I mean, I know Aaron is like a sweet person, but we saw what Aaron does later on in the series about how she is being a caretaker. Like, can you imagine that Aaron is boiling like Gatorade or something, or like maybe she's heating up Gatorade in a baby bottle for in a bottle warmer.
It has electrolytes.
Like, it's like, oh, I figured this would be good because it has all like the nutrients and stuff that a baby needs. It's like, no, that's not how it works.
she's got like an Atkins shake or something that she's right. putting in there for the baby. Oh. Like, oh, it's a whole meal replacement.
You can't do that for a baby.
This went on a way bigger tangent than I thought it would, but now I have to ask the My question. Bad. Okay.
You're, welcome to this podcast.
No kidding.
You work in the office, AJ.
Yes.
You're in a pinch and you need somebody from Dunder Mifflin to babysit your kid.
Okay.
Who is it?
It'd be Oscar.
Ah, that's a good one. That's a good one.
Didn't expect that, did you? Huh?
Ooh. Well, I almost would. Maybe the only one to me that would rival him would be Toby.
I was just going to say Toby.
Toby.
I was like, I think, Toby's got a daughter.
Yeah, Toby's like, a boring
Toby
ass individual
dad,
who doesn't have much going
so
on.
He's so freaking boring. Like, you can guarantee nothing crazy is going to happen.
Yeah.
And honestly, like, just for him to get to spend some time with another human,
yeah.
like, he that baby will get so much attention, anything it wants. I mean, and he's going to be over the top, you know. Mm-hmm. Maybe Oscar is a good one, but Oscar is also selfish.
Oscar is selfish, but I mean,
yep.
I feel like he's just got that head on his shoulders that is like, oh. Like when he objects so hard to that baby musician's poster, it's like, yeah, that's who I'm going to let babysit my kid.
Right. Yeah. It's not Angela. It's definitely yeah. not yeah. Meredith. It's,
yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Like your baby's going to end up in Katrina if Meredith
right.
babysit.
I'm yeah, not... I would think Toby. I would think that he'd probably be the best. And he's the one that I can think of with the most recent experience with a young kid
right.
at this point.
Honestly,
because
this
his
is...
daughter Sasha would be, what, like 5 or 6 at this point, probably?
Probably yeah, older than so. That, yeah. yeah. And Well, I mean, what, she was, how old do you think? Six or she, was she five, had been like five she, or six when she was bring your kid to work day. So right. at this point, I mean, she'd probably be like 10.
Okay.
And be at that, you know, not old enough to babysit, but old enough to be helpful.
Right, right.
Yeah. And this is blowing my mind now, because now I'm like, why the frick didn't Jim and Pam ask Toby? If Pam asked Toby to come to her house and watch her baby, he would have done it in a second.
He would have done it in a second. But the problem is, then you got Toby sniffing underwear and just being weird.
I don't know if he's a pervert like that.
Well, you know what? We saw the finger touch on the knee. We saw that he's desperate for a camera. And he's writing novels now, basically idolizing, his own behaviors. So I don't know. Seems a little pervy.
My thought process was that Toby's probably coming to the play.
Don't make me defend Toby, AJ. I hate that. I'm so frustrated right now.
This is what I love, because I know I'm putting you in this position, and I want you to defend him for a second.
You either got to tell AJ he's right or defend Toby.
That's right. And he hates both of those.
Sophie's choice.
Oh, he hates this predicament.
All right, moving on. Yeah. So Michael's trying to be the bigger man. He wants to order flowers for Andy.
Right,
that was not in the original one, because he just shows up with balloons. And now in the extended cut, you get to see how he gets to balloons instead of flowers.
Well, and it makes more sense now, that he was just being cheaper. Yeah. When he shows up and he's like, balloons are better than flowers.
Yeah.
Everybody knows that.
Everybody knows
that. He's so defensive over it. In the normal episode, you just think he just got balloons because he likes balloons. And he got balloons stupid.
It's a silly, uncommon sense.
He likes balloons. He doesn't understand why that's inappropriate for Michaelism. The theater.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. So what he tries to order is he wants 20 roses, some orchids. And if you have any Venus flytraps, no. Okay. Well, maybe some baby's breasts.
Maybe baby's breasts.
Baby's breasts.
Baby's breasts.
Yeah, that's really rough.
Then the floral person says, okay, that's going to be $122. And then he's like, oh, is that with delivery? And it's like, oh, delivery is going to be another $30.
$2 or something.
And then basically, he says, you know, they're flowers, right? They're basically leaves. And then slowly, accidentally hangs up on him, and then gets some latex balloons.
So this is like the indication that I think that this must happen in every episode, right? And so we might just need to start making a point of this, that is essentially Michael is all of us, because if we heard that and we were like, oh no, I don't want to seem rude, but at the same time I don't want to pay for this, it's like, oh yeah, so well, I guess then here's my information. Boop.
No. What I would do it, you know, we've probably all been in a situation where something is way more expensive than we realized or could afford at the time, you know.
Tell me about it.
Especially in a situation like this, how you play it off is you say, oh, you know what? I forgot. He hates roses. Here's what I'm looking to spend.
Yeah.
Just say $35 and I'll pick them up.
Right.
And just do the best arrangement you can for $35. I mean, come on.
That's people actually don't know the roses were complimentary.
You're trusting
the orchids.
You're
it's the orchids he hates.
It's BJ, you are giving far too much credit to somebody like Michael Scott because you work in an industry that has this in it. So it's
in
I'm
the
just
words
saying.
Of Phyllis Vance. Michael has lots of problems and he's stupid.
Yeah.
Just last episode.
That's true.
Okay. Moving on from flowers. Fine. I'm going to throw this one out there because it's before the play. Before the play, and then we can get to the play. Easily the best Andy line of the episode, and maybe, now that I'm thinking about it, one of my favorite Andy lines of all time was a deleted talking head from Andy.
Okay.
And he says, sure, you know, I go to a concert and there's 20,000 fans, I have a great time. But if I was in a museum and I saw Justin Bieber there, I'd probably punch him in the face.
I'd probably punch him in the face. Fair point. Fair point. I do believe it's another deleted scene that it's like additional time about Andy talking about Gabe and Aaron and like how he's like doesn't want Gabe to come. Isn't that in this one?
Yeah, no, well, he's excited because he's like, is Gabe coming? I'm just trying to gauge, like, you know, who's going to be there. And it's like, oh, no, Gabe can't come. He's not feeling well.
Yeah.
And he's like, and he gets all excited, but he's like, oh, shoot. Oh, I hope he feels, you know, hope he feels better.
Yeah. He's kind of talking about his anger management stuff. And then it made me think about how, you know, him trying to gauge who's coming is essentially, like, this is an exact representation or, like, repetition of Jim gauging if Roy is coming to his barbecue with Pam.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
And yeah, that's fair.
And I'm just like, I'm
kind of a good rehash of that.
Yeah. And it's like, again, I think this is just falling to the point of, man, Andy and Aaron will never be, you know, will never be Jim and Pam.
That couple could be the star of a show called Couples I Don't Care About.
I don't care about. isn't it just like the parallels that they created, and I think that as honestly, I'm not trying to rehash this one, guys, but it's just every time we talk about it, I get more and more insight into this whole thing, and the idea that they just felt that it was okay to take another salesman who's going to be interested in the receptionist, who is involved with somebody else in the office. It is...
You think we wouldn't notice?
It's like, did you think we would not notice? Like, this is upsetting.
Or do you think we'd be appreciative?
Do you think we... Did you ask if we wanted this? You know what I mean? Did you take a poll?
No one took a poll, man.
No one took a poll. No one went to office.com and saw a poll that says, hey, do you want a repeat of this love story? Because everyone would have voted no.
And Aaron doing the same exact thing. I mean,
hey, would you like us to do the same thing but worse?
Okay, can we get to the play? Because I really want to hear my juicy...
I wish you'd quit lollygagging around with it, Beach.
Okay.
I keep lollygagging. That's my fault. Go ahead.
That's the joke.
So they're, you know, they're in the area before they get to their, before they go to their seats.
Okay? Yes.
And it's Phyllis. And she says, Bob hates New York. Too many. He just hates it. Long pause. What does he hate, Phyllis? What? Too many mob people?
Mob. Too many Italians.
Yeah, no wonder he hates New York.
Yeah. There's too much turf that he's not allowed on. That's what it is.
Yep. I'm like, that very first thing I thought of was, oh, man. Too many what? Too many people who know who he is and want him to want to bury him with the fishes. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, my gosh.
He's Bob Fitz Strangler.
We need to hit him back up, man. Like, we need to tell him, like, yeah, we found out more dirt, Bob Vance.
Vance Refrigeration.
Listen here, Bob Vance, whose actual name is Bobby Ray Schaefer.
Oh. Wait a second, what?
What?
That's what it says. Bobby Ray Schaefer is Bob Vance.
Oh, okay.
Robert Ray Schaefer,
yes, okay.
Oh, gotcha. And then... On top of that, Bob and Cynthia kind of hit it off. Stanley, Cynthia.
Yeah.
And Phyllis says, she says, Bob and Cynthia seem to have hit it off. I didn't think they would because Bob has good normal values and Cynthia is a homewrecker.
Cynthia's a homewrecker. One thing I did not realize is that this play was in New York.
Wait, what?
Isn't that what you just said?
No.
I thought that's what you just said. Bob doesn't like New York.
They were talking about New York or
going to plays on Broadway.
Oh, yeah. Okay. That's right. I was going to say.
No, this is like the local Scranton community theater.
That's what I thought too. But like for some reason you brought that up. I was like, wait a second. Was this in New York that they were traveling to? So no, this makes sense now. Yeah, it's the local Scranton theater, community theater. By the way, pretty decent production for community theater. It's not bad.
Oh, absolutely.
I'll tell you what.
Pipes.
Whoever they brought in a ringer. and so, but the other thing though too is like the costume design. Boy, you gotta hand it to them.
Yep. Thank God they were back. This play was back by NBC.
Costume. Yeah, I know, right? You know? Costume and makeup. Hand them a big old Emmy. But so do you guys the wine bottle, I want to dive into this a little bit further.
It's so good.
Where are we at? What comes first? What faux pas comes first?
Well, the balloons should have never been brought into the theater.
They should have
been left in the, I'm blanking on, what's it called? The entryway.
Like, you know, the back of house?
No, not the back house. Like, before you go into a theater, there's like
the lobby?
Like the foyer?
Yeah, lobby works. There, okay. For in like a theater, there's a room for it. I'm blanking on it. So in the lobby, they should have left the balloons.
Mm-hmm.
And he should have, and then the wine bottle, like, that's fine. Like, that's actually a pretty normal thing you bring in, you know, with you. Like, I guess last time I went to a theater play,
yeah,
they had little bottles of wine. So like Kendra got a little bottle of wine. Touché. You know, and like I got beer, you know, and we went
in.
Had a bottle of beer. It could have, the exact same thing could have happened, but
yeah,
you know, like that. But the fact that it did, but, and I've told this story in a previous podcast, that happened to us in real life at Film Scene.
Oh, that's right. I remember the story. Yes.
My friend Zach brought in a bottle of wine to a indie movie production. I don't even remember what we're there to see, but he's necking this bottle of red wine from the thing, and he sets it down and knocks it, and we're on the slanted cement floor, and that thing rolled all the way, spilling wine, by the way.
Oh,
too.
My God. So it wasn't even
all
empty.
The way to the front and hit the cement thing above it, and it was, I mean, it was so funny. It's a core memory. I'll never forget it. I mean, he Michael Scotted it.
Here's the problem, is that if there was still wine in it, then there's a trail leading directly back to you.
Oh, 100%.
It's not like you can avoid that.
Yeah.
And my choice was to look directly at him because I wanted everyone to know it wasn't me. And his choice was to look directly at the ceiling.
Like it fell from the rafters?
Yeah. He just looked straight up. Like,
oh, man. What happened up there? That's so crazy.
Oh, my God. It's like the Phantom of the Opera. Apparently, he's a booze hound. A penchant for Boone's Farm.
The correct look response would have been behind you.
Yeah.
Oh, hey guys, where'd that come from? Oh, jeez.
Nope, straight up.
Yeah, you guys are in the final row. You're just full Tim Robinson. Like, whoever did this needs to fess up now.
Yeah.
Oh, right. God.
So one other thing, back to the Jim and Pam thing I forgot to bring up. This is towards the end. Remember, because Aaron's like calling a lot.
Right.
And you get more calls in the extended cut. Yeah. Like, you realize.
So many more calls.
She's checking in to the point of, you know, it's too much. But I think Jim and Pam kind of appreciate that, although Jim is pretending like he doesn't. But at one point, Pam and Jim, she calls Pam and Jim wanting to know if Cece should wear her yellow or her purple onesie to bedtime. And Jim says, yellow. How did she even find the purple onesie?
Yeah.
I never want her, and that one looks ridiculous. And then Pam turns, and you see her outfit,
it's purple.
She's in all purple. And she's like, because he says purple looks ridiculous. And Pam's wearing purple, and she's like, I'm wearing purple. And he's like, it looks good on you, I guess.
Safe like, there, I guess.
But you see like a Jim dad moment where like he takes pride in what his baby's wearing.
Yeah, totally.
He hid this onesie. So now he knows. And if you dig into that little comment a little more, that like clearly Aaron's like digging around all of the baby stuff.
Yeah.
To find a hidden one. How did she even
find the purple one?
Yeah. Yeah. She's stoked on this. She like Aaron must be having she it sounds like she must be having a ball. Like kind of, you know, being able to kind of get into this stuff, right? And like
it must be nice to hang out with someone who's mentally your equal.
You're good. That's a great that's a great point. That's a great point. You know, and the other thing too is I think she mentions is it on the phone or is it in person? Well, you left me the car seat too. And it's like, yeah, we left you the car seat. So in case you had to go to the hospital, why would I want to take a baby to the hospital and stuff?
Or and like, that's where they're just like just fed up with it. They like cut off the conversation.
And they get to the point too where it's like, well, how about I just take CC, we'll go get some ice cream and go home and you guys can enjoy the flight. It's like a baby's not supposed to have ice cream either. Like
yeah.
it's like no, it's done. This is all done. Okay. Let's can we talk a little bit more about though, like Andy and the absolute cringe factor of like during the play and it's like his phone going off.
When it goes off.
Oh yeah.
Dude, like this is maybe the worst. And like, you know what? You do have to hand it to that other guy. What a professional way to handle like one time, right? Like it going off. It's like, oh, a little bird seems to have flown in.
Yeah.
Like okay. It. It's like, dude, amazing, right?
Yeah. But then immediately anybody else would have just silenced it.
Correct.
Yeah. But never in a million years.
A small laugh from the crowd that Michael is like annoyed at.
Yes.
Yeah. But never in a million years would he expect that the ring is coming from the front pocket of his co-star.
Yes.
In front of him, who not only brought his cell phone onto the stage, but didn't have it silenced.
You've got to be kidding me, right? Like this is just one of those things that it makes you. It makes you upset with Andy. Like, why do you exist? Why are you in this play? By the way, we didn't also mention the fact that, like, Andy is also having a tough time coming to terms with, like, the fact that, like, Aaron's not there, which was a deleted scene with the director. And the director...
It's so good.
The director was basically like, look, Andy, like, if you can't do it, then like, what's his name? Like, Randall can do it.
Yeah.
Or something.
He's like, harness the sadness and use it.
Use it.
Yeah. And he's I can't harness the sadness. I can't do it. And he's like, okay, then we'll have Randall do it.
Yeah. It's like, we'll have him.
He's like, then go home.
Then go home. And
Randall can play your part.
And truthfully,
he's like, I can do it, Andy. And then he looks at him. He's like, I'm going to use it. Yeah.
I'm going to use it. And it's, truthfully, that is exactly like what understudies are for. Like if you can't do it tonight, it's not about like, it's not even about like whether or not you feel good or anything like that. You literally sometimes like you can't do it, right? Like maybe your voice went out. Maybe something else is wrong. Like whatever it is. But that is what an understudy is for. And then you have...
It shocks me that this community production of Sweeney Todd and Scranton, Pennsylvania is an understudy.
It has understudies, though, yeah.
Like, I mean, Michael still didn't get a role. Like, he couldn't even have been the understudy for whomever.
Oh, no. No way.
They couldn't take the risk that the person didn't show up. And then Michael gets to go on.
FYI. Just kind of... like cutting back to it after all this, after Andy decides like he doesn't know if he can do it, but then he decides he does want to do it. And then he decides I'm going on stage and he's checking his phone in between scenes. And then it interrupts the entire play. And then he has the audacity to check his phone on stage.
Yeah.
Is even worse. And then again, you have this, the guy who is the plumber, who is essentially, this guy must be a ringer because he just, he exclaims and like brings Andy back into the freaking play and brings it like, where is Joanna?
Like, Where is Joanna?
Where is Joanna? Like, it's like, man, what every, it's like, is Andy trying to sabotage this for God's sake, man?
No. I think he's, This is the Andy Aaron we don't care about, which is why we're overthinking
it.
Yeah, because he's smitten with her. The only person he really cared about showing up was her.
Yeah.
You know,
it was the same thing with the fucking, it was the same thing with the Valentine's Day cards. He gave them to everybody. And the only one he actually cared about was Aaron. He invited everybody. And the only one he cared about was Aaron. And it's just
him inviting everybody was the reason Aaron wasn't there.
Couldn't go.
Yep.
And it's
like the same song and dance, and we just don't care about them. So it's hard for us to, you know, I think maybe emote with this episode the way you're supposed to. But I do think here's two things I'll say, and we can start wrapping this up and get to office limits.
Can I say this really fast before you say that?
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, go. If there is a listener out there right now that really is enticed with the Andy and Aaron love story, plot line, relationship, please. Well, yes, number one. But two, please write in and tell us. Please tell us what your infatuation is. And in all honesty, like, I want to hear like an honest to God, like, this is the reason why I stuck with it and really took to Andy and Aaron's like relationship plot line.
Like, I want you to write in and tell us who hurt you and made you this way.
Yeah, and how your recovery from a narcissistic relationship is going.
Anyway,
I just wanted to say,
I don't even
DJ,
remember.
Please
what my two
continue.
Were. I know one of them was my favorite character of this episode. For the character's sake, the funniest character, obviously Michael. In this episode, but my favorite character in this episode, for the character's sake, was Daryl.
Mm.
Daryl had a great role. I think you know right away he's like, shh, we got to listen to the opening music, otherwise we won't understand. You know, the overtures when they come back. You know,
have to listen to the overture, we won't recognize the shared themes.
Yeah,
or whatever.
Yeah. I think Daryl is super solid. Plus, when Michael cracks the wine, he's the first one to be like, yeah, I'll take a rip of that.
Oh, yeah. Daryl is there for the good time. And I think we've always determined that usually that's the case with Daryl.
Yeah, but he's also extremely respectful.
True.
Like, he's, and you just like, because like, you know, I don't even know how to explain it. Like, Daryl is a normie in a non-normie environment all the time.
Yeah.
If you really think about it, you know?
Yeah,
you learn that more outside of the office too, because he's not just dealing with hijinks. Like, he's like, hey, like, I go to plays.
Yeah,
like, you want to like shut up.
Look, man, anyway. He's properly pretentious. That's what it is.
Dang.
Okay.
He should join our golf league.
He should join the golf leagues,
Daryl. Like, you are invited to join the golf league.
It's properly pretentious, man. Like, it's just that it's that level of like, yeah, I go to plays, but I also will snake a sip of wine. That's going to be passed my way, obviously.
Yeah, obviously. So, like, who wouldn't?
Yeah.
Okay, so the ending of this episode, which is part of the reason why I love Daryl so much, he gets to play the piano, and he also, all of them, including Michael, who Michael's thing was like, it was, what do you say? Is it awesome? What's the vernacular he uses?
For the play?
To describe Andy's performance.
He's like, if
you were terrible, I would have said you were terrible. If you were okay, I would have said you're just
said
okay.
Nicer things.
Yeah. And I was like, and if I thought you were better, then I would have said nicer things, but you were exactly awesome or whatever.
Yeah.
He's like, you can trust that I'm telling you the truth. Andy, I booed a guy tonight.
Yeah. Speaking of the booing.
Yeah.
That would be interactive. Daryl, oh, Michael, and Sweeney Todd.
Yeah.
his reaction.
A great scene.
His reaction is pretty prime. No, it was you. And you were the only one doing it.
You were the only one.
You were the only one. So, and just that like look he gives him.
Yeah. And that's another Daryl quality that I love about him. Because like Michael outside of work at this play is, Michael is not his boss at this point.
Yeah. Yeah,
and he looked at him and he booed him.
How would you like if somebody booed you?
How would you like it?
Yeah, I'll be honest.
Boo!
I'll be honest. I did not like that.
Like, I did not like that.
Like, it's 100%. Like, I think Michael deserved to be booed. Daryl.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Rude. That was rude. Everything about Michael's jealous. Rude,
it's just
whatever.
Him. Yeah, it's
but
just him
Michael,
being.
So it's fine.
Yeah, it's just him being epically jealous. So.
Yeah,
but
what do you guys think about some Office Olympics?
I'm good with some Office Olympics. I think if there's any final thoughts, man, it's like even the they share a kind moment at the end, Andy and Aaron. It's like, oh, kill me, you know, in the don't chair. Care. You don't really care.
Don't care.
I mean, yeah, they have a good moment of the entire office at the end.
Yeah, I do like the Jim Pam of the. I think I have what was it?
A little gift bottle of Irish cream.
Irish cream.
It's like Bailey's.
Yeah. Like, oh, is it Irish cream? Is that what it is?
Yeah. He says, Irish cream. And then she said, we can mix it with the juice. He goes, let's get our juice on.
Get our juice on. Yeah. We're going to have 2 ounces of this 13% alcohol beverage.
Yeah, that's right.
Let's go. And go back home to our boring lives.
I know.
Yeah, that's a that's a good moment. Like I said from the very beginning, like this is a good behind the curtain, behind the veil, however you want to say it.
Yeah,
Jim and Pam episode.
I think you're right.
And this episode has its redeeming qualities for sure. I think part of the reason I have so much disdain for it is the fact that I watched it like 15 times for the recording of this.
Big time agree.
And yeah. I will not do that going forward for these episodes.
Yeah, probably accurate. Okay. I think I'm good. Yeah, let's do it, man.
All right. Well, I guess it's time for Office Olympics, my favorite part of the show where I make up a game. I make AJ and Nick play it. So basically, I say jump. They say...
On who?
Dance. They say...
How high?
Hey, as always, Office Olympics is brought to you by Four Fathers. Four Fathers produces the most amazing clothing ever, right? Golf season is here. God bless America.
It even came early this year.
It did come early here, and we're based out of the Midwest, obviously, but they have the comfiest polos. I wear them literally every time I golf, and I wear them out for dinner. They're fun. They can be loud, or you can get the not-so-loud one, depending on your personality.
It can be loud or proud.
Loud, proud, whatever you want to do, right? I like to say that I'm a extrovert introvert.
It's perfect.
Okay? There's moments where I'm just trying to blend in, all right? I'm not trying to be a crowd stopper. And then there's moments like after I drink a little Rip Van Winkle and sleep for 20 years, then I'm like, screw it. I'm wearing the red pizza one.
Time to show off.
Let's get after it.
And you got to go to the website if you want to know what the red pizza one looks like. And I got it. All right. So please support them. They support this podcast. All right. Are you guys ready?
Yes.
If you remember correctly, a couple episodes ago, we did a game called The End.
The End. Okay.
Remind us, the viewers at home.
And it was questions about episode finales.
Gotcha.
Okay.
Gotcha.
And we ended with season 5.
Right.
So today we're doing The End Part 2, picking it up with season 6.
Rock and roll.
All right, so it's essentially a standard trivia style. Each person is going to get an episode. They then can answer as many questions on that episode as they can. If they answer one wrong, it passes to the other player.
Mm.
Nick does get to start.
Oh, wow. Okay, yeah. Nick's only won the last like 4 times in a row.
I'm
Nick Marilla. I'm really smart about the office.
You guys played at the same time, right?
I'm Nick Marilla. Look how smart I am about the office. I know everything. I do
need someone
time.
To keep score.
What is happening? I can keep score.
Thank All God.
Right. Nick, are you ready?
Why don't you suck my butt, AJ? Yeah, I'm ready.
Present.
So there's going to be 4 to 6 questions per episode.
Okay.
If you miss one of the answers, it passes to the next person and they get to keep going on the questions.
Okay.
Come on. So, Nick, to start.
Yeah.
Season 6. What is the name of the episode, the final episode in the season?
Is it Whistleblower?
Correct.
Jesus. Well done.
So, going again, Nick. What year did it come out?
Oh, God. Season 1 was 04, so is it 2010?
Correct.
Okay.
2010. Good job. 2 points to Nick. Nick, question 3 on the same episode. Who directed it?
Ken Kwapis.
Man, what a good answer, but that's wrong. AJ, who directed it?
Paul Eberstein.
How did you know that? Did you cheat?
No.
There's like five.
There's five guys that could have been
direct the Office.
And oddly enough, J.J. Yes, Abrams is one of them.
Toby himself directed this episode.
Fucking nailed it.
Good job.
So good at this.
A major star guest starred in this episode. Who was it?
In Whistleblower was. A major star guest starred. Wait, well, I want a clarification. Is this a single time cameo?
I'll repeat the question. A major star guest starred in this episode. Who was it?
Then I'm going to say Kathy Bates.
Correct.
Okay.
Yes. She was never considered a series regular and always considered a guest star.
Okay.
Oh, that's fair.
Yeah. Okay. Got you.
All right. That was it for the first one. So we got Nick with 2 points and AJ with 2 points.
Two.
Is that correct?
Yeah, I believe okay. So.
AJ, season 7, what was the name of the episode that was the finale of that season?
Oh, my Lord. Was it... I don't know. I don't know the answer to that.
Nick?
That's search committee, baby.
That is correct. Search committee is correct. Nick gets keep going.
Wieners.
Because it's right after Michael leaves.
Yep. Nick, who was the first guest star interview?
Oh, man. They do so many of them.
What are you
trying to think
at,
of
AJ?
Who they interview in what order? Hold on.
Responding to a...
Carol.
It's not.
Is it Will? Is it Will Arnett?
That is correct.
Oh,
that is correct. You get to keep going, Nick.
I'm using up my luck here, AJ. Don't sweat it.
What is
Paul Eberstein?
Speaking of guest star interviews, yeah. What is Ricky Gervais's name?
Like his character's name?
Yes,
David Brent.
Yeah,
correct. And the final question for you, Nick. What candidate was Daryl most worried about beating him out for the job?
God damn it. I don't remember what his name is. Jim says it. Like, I won't try and stall because I genuinely don't remember it off the top of
AJ?
Head. He gives him a very white name at first, and that's not it.
Isn't it Ray Romano's character?
Nope. Nick, you got any guess?
No, not off the top of my head.
It was a gentleman by the name of Deshaun Williams.
Deshaun Williams.
The most worried about him.
Okay.
All right, Nick, back to you to start.
Wow. Okay.
Season 8.
What is the name of the last episode of season 8? AJ, I'm concerned that you're looking at something.
I'm not, I promise you.
Okay.
Is that the fundraiser with the dogs? Damn it.
AJ?
I'm so bad at the later seasons because I just don't fucking care.
Season 8. Season 8, season finale. or series season finale.
We got a time clock going on this one.
I don't know. Gosh.
It was Family Portrait.
Oh my God.
Family Portrait.
Nick, it goes back to you, defaulted. Within a 0.5 rating, what do you think the IMDb rating of Season 8 Family Portrait was?
I don't know. 7.2.
Close enough. It was 7.5. Also, the lowest rated season finale
I figured if it was really bad, that would cover me all the way to a 6.7. And if it was okay, it would cover me to a 7.7.
Yep.
Okay, Nick. Playing the spread.
Who says this? Who says this line? It's time for you to go home. You're better than this. Everyone is better than this. This is the worst thing I've ever seen.
I don't know off the top of my head. I don't know what the context is. I don't remember off the top of my head. I'm well, terrible at this episode. I don't know. Give it to AJ.
AJ?
I'm going to say Angela.
Wrong. Nick, you want to take a guess?
Pam, maybe?
Nope. AJ, go ahead.
Is it Oscar?
Or Oscar.
Nope.
Jeez.
Nick, I don't know then. Oh, one more?
Yeah, Jim. One more.
Fuck.
Age.
You're better than this. I'm better than this. You're better than this.
It's time for you to go home. You're better than this. Everyone is better than this. This is the worst thing I've ever seen.
This is the worst thing I've ever seen. Then that is... Is it Michael?
We're in season 8, brother. It's Robert California who says that to Andy. Oh.
This is the worst thing I've ever seen. Well, I was in the right pocket, okay? I was in the right position.
AJ to start. Season 9.
Oh, boy.
What's the name of the episode?
It's like the finale.
Oh, I'm going to give it to AJ. He got it out.
Come on.
He got it out before. I passed it, but he got it out. Okay, AJ.
Nonsense.
AJ, I know we're in a time crunch here.
Oh, boy.
IMDb rating within 0.5 points. How high was the final finale rated?
7.4.
Wrong. Nick?
8.2.
Neither of you get a point. It was 9.8, the highest rated episode of the series.
Shit.
You can just suck my...
All right, goes back to AJ, though. AJ, what is Jim's final prank on Dwight in this episode that was deleted from the episode and never aired?
Was it Jell-O again?
No. Nick?
Isn't it like a glitch in the Matrix deja vu thing with the cat?
Correct. We talked about it on the podcast in a previous episode. It is the Matrix prank, 100%. Matrix. Point to you, Nick. Nick, you get to keep going.
Oh.
Okay.
There are two answers to this, and I will go back and forth until they're both answered. If you cannot answer them both, Nick. However, if you answer them both, you get 2 points. The PBS panel moderator is related to two major parts of the Office universe. One is an actor on the show. Name one or both. I'll repeat that. In the final episode, there's a PBS panel moderator. She speaks in the episode.
Okay.
She is related to two major people of the Office universe. One is an actor on the show.
Okay. Is it Ellie Kemper's sister?
No. AJ?
Damn it. She's one of the writers.
AJ?
Is it the person... Is it Aaron's mom?
No. Nick?
I don't know.
One of the moderators.
It's the female who is the PBS moderator. She is related to two major people in the Office universe. One, not both, but one is an actor on the show. I'll give an additional hint. Both people were a part of the show since episode 1, season 1.
Man.
Nick, I got to throw out a guess. We got dead air.
Yeah.
Episode one.
No. Dwight, is it Rainn Wilson's wife?
No. AJ, one more guess.
Is it? Here it is. I got it.
All right.
No, I definitely got it here. I don't
get it. Anyway, that was Office Olympics.
I don't got it.
It was 7-3 Nick to AJ for what it's worth.
Boy, the answer was, depending on how you want to look at it, Paul Lieberstein's sister / Greg Daniels' wife. They are brother-in-law.
Okay. Wowzers. Got it. I didn't know that off the top of my head.
Wowzers. Well, I'm glad we spent that much time thinking about it when I was clearly blown out of the water.
Anyway, this week's winner is Nick.
Oh, lightning strikes twice.
Well, that's great. Well, congratulations, Nick. I guess we got to get the heck out of here. And you know what? Guys, we appreciate you listening to the episode. Next time, we are going to be back with Season 7, Episode 4 of the Superfan episodes. We cannot wait to jump back in with you. Make sure you guys are checking us out on the social medias at Scotch Splenda. Leave us a review at Apple Podcasts. And then any platform that you're listening on, make sure you guys are following or subscribing. We really do appreciate it. It helps us bump up in those numbers and keep this podcast going. So you can keep on listening, okay? We really do appreciate you guys tuning in, and until next time, we're gonna catch you on the flippity flip.
On the flippity flip.
On the flippity flip.
Goodbye.
Try and I choke, try to walk away as I stumble.
Thank you, Daryl, for your wonderful piano.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.